way. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me, let's fly away. Come fly with me, let's float down to Peru. In Llama Land, there's a one-man band, and he'll toot his flute for you. Come fly with me, let's take off in the blue.
Oh yeah, a little bit about Frankie Boy. Good old Frankie. He'll be around forever, his voice. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, the golden voice of Tantalk Radio. And along with my partner, another golden voice, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. It's Friday, January the 14th, and we got a lot going on. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Kelly Vlahos of the Quincy Institute on the 20th anniversary of the opening of Gitmo, about the futile attempts to shut it down. Why haven't they closed it? Wait till you hear what she has to say. And Pennsylvania Republicans want to craft a bill to send their illegals over to Biden's home state of Delaware. You know that the Justice Department is dropping illegal immigrants off like in the middle of the night sometimes in these different states, sprinkling them around the country? This guy says, well, we'll send them to Delaware. Let's get a lot of them in Delaware. You know that Governor DeSantis here in Florida wanted to do that. I don't know that he ever followed through with that. We'll have to check on it. And Pennsylvania Republic, I should say Lindsey Graham, is warning Mitch McConnell, the leader of the Republicans in the Senate, to go easy on Donald Trump. Because Donald Trump is vital to the Republican cause. Now, where is that going to go? We're gonna talk with the proprietor of the barber pole about those two things, among others, Andrew Ceraci, if he remembers to call in. Also, we got a great top 10. Ed's particularly interested because he likes some of these soap operas. We've got the top 10 television soap operas. Let's see if Ed can figure out what's the number one soap opera in popularity. By the way, Freedom Works is sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, the best haircut in Tampa Bay, flat out, when you combine everything. Quality of haircut, price, ambiance, how nice the place looks, how smart the people are that cut your hair. The whole bit. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcast Plaza in Dunedin. It is just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcast Drive. Call for your appointment, please. 727-733-3773. All right. So this is a bad week for Joe Biden. Everything is going off the tracks. He was on Capitol Hill trying to lobby support for a bill that would overhaul the federal election system in the United States. That went down the toilet when the West Virginia senator and the Arizona senator, both Democrats, said, no, we're not going to vote for that stupid bill. That took care of that. What about the Supreme Court going against the administration on the vaccine mandate? Liberals across the Twitter sphere are outraged, dancing with anger, and attacking Republicans and calling for Democrats to pack the Supreme Court following the court's decision to block Biden's vaccine mandate on businesses with over 100 employees. Here is expand the court. This is some idiot that works with that group. The Supreme Court's conservative majority has chosen to prolong and deepen the misery of the pandemic. Uh-huh. That's what he says. Oh, what else do we have here? Here is Brad Woodhouse, a former Democratic National Committee guy. He says Republicans want to prolong the pandemic, have more people get sick and die so they can blame Biden and win an election. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. A former Hillary Clinton advisor says the court is prolonging the pandemic while by doing this. The Supreme Court actually ruled in two different directions. There were mixed rulings. They don't want OSHA making any decisions because OSHA is only supposed to be a workplace injury situation. And they said that OSHA cannot go and mandate vaccines, and you can't run it through OSHA. However, the Supreme Court said if the organization that it wants to require mandate vaccines gets government money, then they can. Okay? Then they can do it. But they ruled that OSHA lacked the authority to impose mandates because the law that created OSHA empowers the secretary to set workplace safety standards, not other health issues. But in the other case that they were looking at, which was called Biden versus Missouri, the court ruled that the HHS secretary did have the authority, that's the Health and Human Services guy, he did have the authority to require all healthcare workers at institutions that get Medicare and Medicaid funding, in other words, government money, then they can say something about it. Okay. And then you get the poll. Did you see the poll, the most recent Quinnipiac poll? Did you know that he's down to 33% approval? Isn't that worse than Trump? 33%, Quinnipiac. 53% of the people they surveyed disapprove of the job Biden is doing. Now, this poll was just recently conducted, January 7th through the 10th. It's down 3 points from the previous Quinnipiac survey. The independents are where he's going to really die. They have a huge percentage that do not like what he is doing. The three top issues, here's what they rate Biden on. Economy, he gets a 34% approval. Foreign policy, he gets a 35% approval. The coronavirus, he gets a 39% approval. His ability to speak, he gets a 4% approval. I actually made the last one up. But you can see where all those numbers are very low. In his first half year in the White House, he was around the low to mid-50s. But in August, they started taking that hit after he was trying to, after his disastrous Afghanistan, some people would call it surrender. But that's when all the numbers started going south for Biden. You know, he was on again. Was he on again yesterday? He's on so infrequently, I can't even remember when he was on. Mumbling something about how great everything looks. I mean, he's in his own world. He won't take any questions. He gets mad at you if you ask him a question that is the least bit critical. You know, and then he has a come on, man. And then he went ahead again, and he made another lie about his involvement. He wants to tie himself so deeply with the left and black people that he created this dream that he got arrested one time regarding Nelson Mandela. He made it up. Then there was another one. He was somewhere supposedly walking around during the civil rights era, and then he got arrested again there, and he didn't get arrested. You know the old story about the guy can't even get arrested? That's Biden. Oh, well. Hey, I'm going on and on, Ed. You should have cut me off. He said, yeah, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, poor Kelly Vlahos has been waiting patiently. We will talk with her about Gitmo.
is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Ain't it
good to... This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. So delighted to have you with us here on a Friday, and delighted to have Kelly Vlahos back. She is a senior advisor at the Quincy Institute, and a lot of people, Kelly, don't know that this is the 20th anniversary of the Gitmo prison opening, and or at least since the first foreign prisoners were brought over to Guantanamo Bay. First of all, a lot of people don't even know that it's in Cuba, and they would say, what?
Yeah.
Cuba? I thought Cuba was being run by the communists. How do we get a prison over in Cuba? Would you mind answering that question?
Well, we have a base there at Guantanamo Bay, and we've had a base there for decades. And so after 9/11, that is when we opened the military commission, the tribunal, and the detention center. Remember, listening to your show right now, I might remember Camp X-Ray, which was the first, the name for the detention center when it was opened in the days after 9/11, well, specifically in 2002, which... as you mentioned, we're celebrating sarcastically the 20th anniversary of that camp.
Yeah, it's amazing. Time flies, of course, and we still have prisoners. I guess what is the word, lingering in there from the 9/11 incident. First of all,
yes.
There's always these promises made by administrations. You know, I get in there, we're gonna do something. Why have they not been able to, whatever the word would be, to close Gitmo and get all of that done? Why are people, after 20 years, still there?
Well, I mean, I'm going to say something that maybe some of your listeners might not like, but I feel like they have not been able to get through these trials because they are, in fact, a military commission, and they're playing by different rules in the court, whereas if these prisoners had been transferred to federal court in the first place, they would have had either been convicted or acquitted, and we'd be on with our lives right now. But we are looking at the ongoing trial right now of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and his four co-conspirators. And so, I mean, maybe some of your listeners weren't even alive when 9/11 happened. And this trial, it just started within the last year or two and is not expected to wrap up for some time. Years.
That's amazing. Now, I mean, nobody likes
the rule. Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody likes the guy, but to languish for that long, I mean, that is a whatever of justice. You know, that's a miscarriage of justice for him, and for anybody that's there. I don't care what they did. You've got to. Why is the military of all? Why does it take so long? What are the technicalities of a military trial as opposed to say a criminal civilian trial?
Well, I mean, I I'm not a military lawyer, but one of the main sticking points is the secrecy of the evidence. And I'm perhaps this would happen in a federal trial as well. But you have a lot of the evidence that has been gathered against these detainees have been classified, and to classify them, you have to wrangle back and forth in court with the lawyers for weeks and weeks on end to determine whether certain pieces of evidence are classified enough and or not. And many of, and much of it is because of the torture that occurred before, during, and after these detainees were brought in. Mm-hmm. And so much of this evidence is either classified by the government because they don't want you to know what happened to these guys when they were brought in or where they were brought to certain black sites across the globe. And then the torture is inadmissible. And so you have very lengthy a process over just the evidence. These courtrooms close often for various reasons. You have major turnover with the judges. You know, the judges are military guys and gals, and they are commissioned, and then they're deployed somewhere else. And so you have massive turnover there. It's so complicated.
What a mess.
And
yeah,
it is a mess. And I just wanted just to remind your listeners that we're talking, there are more men at Gitmo right now who are not charged with any crime than there are people who are awaiting trial. So there are five people awaiting trial, and five people, including the Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and his co-conspirators, who are actually charged and waiting for trial. But you have at least 15 people who aren't charged, but they're not cleared to leave. And then you have another 10 who are cleared to leave, but they have nowhere to go.
Oh, boy.
So the majority of people that are there haven't been charged with anything mm-hmm. for 20 years.
What a mess. What a mess.
We're languishing.
We're talking with Kelly Vallejo. She is a senior advisor of the Quincy Institute. And by the way, she's written a piece for the Responsible Statecraft website, which you can read. The U.S. is building rather than tearing down Gitmo. January the 11th, 20 years, and we're going in the opposite direction. Is there any end in this? I mean, these people are going to die in there.
Yeah, they're likely going to die in there. And if they're not, if they don't die, they are like mentally destroyed, many of them.
Yeah.
And because of the torture, I mean, because of the solitary confinement, but also the fact that, you know, you've been cleared to go for 8, 10, 15 years, and you have, there's no light at the tunnel because of the rules that restrict where these detainees, once they're cleared, they're not charged with any crime, but no country wants to take them because the United States has all sorts of restrictions. So they want to ensure that if they send them to, say, Oman, that there will be surveillance of these people ongoing. There are other rules that these countries have to abide by. So a lot of these countries are like, I don't want these guys. And they can't go home. They won't let, in many cases, their home countries don't want them. And so they're stateless men, and they have no idea when they're ever going to see their families again. So many of them just going to go out of their mind.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just trying to think in my own mind how you would resolve all of this. I mean, okay, so there are some that they don't want the trial to occur because they can't basically present evidence because they have tortured them. And they don't want to, and they can't present evidence under duress as evidence. And I'm thinking, okay, and then they don't want it publicized. They want it kept secret.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So I'm thinking to myself, okay, could they, like, conduct the trial in secret and then release the video of the trial and censor the parts that would air military secrets or something like that? Is there any way to get these guys to trial?
Well, I mean, and I'm glad you brought that up because there are, what do you call them, but, you know, controls as we speak now in the courtroom, or they're on a 40-second delay. So say, you know, the lawyers are debating or deliberating, and they're talking, and something that sort of wanders into classified territory, the judge can press a button and there'll be a 40-second delay because mm-hmm. there's a gallery, say, you know, up or looking down, and those people will only hear the 40-second delay, like kind of like radio.
Yeah.
But that's one thing. But then there are all sorts of debates and deliberations over whether or not testimony is fully classified.
Yeah.
You'll never see it. It'll never reach a courtroom. And what I was talking about in that last article that you brought up was that they're building another courtroom to maybe try to expedite, you know, those other five that are waiting for trial.
Oh.
But they're making that courtroom completely secret and sealed off so there won't be a gallery. There won't, you know, the victims and their families and journalists won't be able to watch. There'll be some piped in broadcast to another part of the island.
Oh, my God.
The facility, which will have all the major delays in. But, you know, it's this lack of transparency that's bugging a lot of people. And the fact that this courtroom won't be built until, I think, next year.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of wipes out the whole idea that they're really trying to close this thing. I think the Biden administration has just given up on any pledges it meant.
Yeah, and it's not just
closed.
It's not just Biden. Republicans are the same way, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, you know, and the Republicans have been a big obstacle, I have to say, and the idea or the proposal to bring some of these detainees into the United States proper and try them into federal courts. Time and time again, it's Republicans and, you know, probably a lot of Democratic centrists who have said, I don't want these people on American soil. I don't want them anywhere near here. They're a security threat. But, I mean, we know that our prisons are pretty secure. And just to put, like, a taxpayer point on this, I mean, it's costing us, I wrote this down, $13 million a year for each of those detainees.
Wow.
To stay. Where if they went to a supermax, it'd be 78,000, you know, million per year, or 78,000 per year. So, you know, just in practical terms, bringing them here, trying them in federal court, getting it over with, and we know it can be done.
Yeah.
And then finding a way to get rid of these other guys who haven't been charged anything. You know, there's got to be a way to satisfy those who are worried about security, but also, you know, get these guys who are clearly innocent home or in a country
yes.
where they actually can be human beings again.
We're talking again with Kelly Vlahos of the Quincy Institute. This is such, you would think that we would convert the format to a civil trial rather than a military trial so that this can be done. Certainly we can, I mean, nobody should fear a handful of people that we can keep under lock and key, you know, if that's their
right.
argument. That's a specious one, a weak one.
Yeah.
I
think it might have worked after 9/11 when people were really scared about and bringing them on home soil, but I just don't know if it washes anymore.
No, I don't think so either. So do you think, Kelly, finally, do you think we're ever going to really resolve this and close Gitmo? Let me ask you this. In 10 years, if you and I were to sit down and start talking again, would Gitmo be closed?
It might be closed because all these guys are dead. And I hate to say that, but, I mean, a lot of these guys were adults 20 years ago. They say you got picked up
yeah.
when you were 20. Now
you're right.
You're a 50-year-old guy.
Yeah.
So then maybe you're 60 and Gitmo in 10 years, and you've had par, you know, health attention.
Yeah.
But you might be getting the rudimentary like health checks or whatever. But you're not. You know, everybody knows what it's like when you reach 60 years old. You got to see a doctor. Things come up. You know, and then you don't have the will to live.
Right. You're right.
So who knows if they'd still be there
yeah.
10 years? But it breaks my heart to say that. But I feel like there's no. Initiative on the part of the military to close it, because the military's never going to close anything that it has purview over.
No, but I think we should. Is there anybody in Congress right now that's raising the flag on this and is trying to get something done?
You know, I feel like it's really moved down the ladder of priorities, and you know, that's that's kind of obvious. You know, we've got a pandemic going on. We've got a polarized political environment. We got, you know, inflation. I mean, there's some serious things that people are dealing with, and I just feel like that, you know, foreign detainees languishing.
It's not on the top of the list. I agree. But somebody should pick up the flag on this. You know what I mean? You would think, and get it over with, not just for them, but for us as well. Kelly, thank you so very much. What an interesting topic. I really appreciate your time on this.
Well, thanks for having me in to talk about it.
Oh, our pleasure. I know we'll be talking again. Thank you. All right.
Thank you.
Okay, Kelly Vlahos, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, Pennsylvania Republicans, they want to craft a bill to send their illegals to Delaware, Biden's home state. And Lindsey Graham warning Mitch McConnell, the GOP leader, go easy on Trump. He's vital. We're going to talk with Andrew Ceresi, the master barber.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. And this time we really do have Andrew, the Master Barber, with us. And Andrew, welcome back. I got a couple of things going on I know you want to talk about. First of all, Lindsey Graham says that Mitch McConnell, who was heading, of course, the Republicans in the Senate, he's warning McConnell that we got to be nice to Donald Trump. McConnell's got a little spur up his butt about Donald Trump. And Graham says that Trump is indispensable. He is an indispensable GOP leader, like it or not. So I want to get your take on this relationship between McConnell and Donald Trump. Is that going to screw things up for the Republicans?
Well, you know, Paul, first of all, I don't think he's got a spur up his butt. I think he's got a big hemorrhoid.
Okay. Yes.
Mitch McConnell is a fool. He needs to go. He's nothing but a rhino. I've said that for years.
Mm-hmm.
The guy is no good. And, yeah, he could mess it up for the Republicans if he keeps it up. But anything, you know, he's going away after this year anyway, from what I understand.
Well, he's getting pretty old. You know, he's got a little bit of a health problem himself, actually. You know,
might be getting a little bit like Biden, a little dementia.
Well, I don't notice that his mind is going. I don't see that, but I do see in his gait, you know, the way he walks. To his credit, he went after Joe Biden, and the way Joe Biden came down on people on that voting rights issue.
Well, you know, Paul, after yesterday, let me tell you something. What I seen with our governor,
DeSantis,
he's changing the way politics are going to happen in this country.
By the way, there was a get-together. I had a doctor's appointment. But Ron DeSantis had a meet and greet, did he not?
Let me tell you something. I believe that I saw thousands of people outside.
Wow.
You know, I went in through the back door, but he was there with his entourage.
Uh-huh.
He had four seats on the stage. Let me tell you something. He's bringing politics to a level this country has never seen. Okay? His campaigning was not at a podium standing there giving a speech. There was no teleprompters. It was him and three of his proteges, I guess, part of his administration. And it was like a comedy show. He had the crowd in the palm of his hand, okay, with the way he was handling this. I mean, it was not a campaign. It wasn't anybody standing behind a podium. The people were going wild, Paul, just like they did with Trump.
So he's got a sense of humor.
Oh, you got no idea. This kid has come such a long way. It's unbelievable for when he was campaigning for governor in 2018 there. Unbelievable. This kid will be president. No doubt in my mind.
For those of
2024 or 2028.
For those of you listening that don't know this, the Seracis and the DeSantis family know each other. And Ron, the governor, grew up in Dunedin. And Ron's father, Ron Sr., wonderful man, by the way. Hey, by the way, was his father there at the meet and greet?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, I would think so.
I went with.
He's a wonderful guy and a good friend of Andrew's. In fact, the whole DeSantis family are good friends. And so they have a special insight. And I do think Ron DeSantis, I mean, if he wanted to run in 24 for the presidency, I think he's, I don't know who could beat him.
Nobody. Yeah. Nobody, Paul. If you were there yesterday, you would have seen it.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, when you see politics handled completely differently, Paul, I don't know if it's a younger generation that's making this happen or what. You know what I mean?
There's some gravitas to him. I don't know. You know, it's, in other words, when he gets up there or whenever I see him talking, he just seems like he's in command. You know, there are certain people that have a presence. Certain people have a presence. And you just, like, gravitate towards kind of nodding your head. You know what I mean? He's just got that kind of presence.
I could tell you this one. I was talking with the Secret Service yesterday, and they told me the Democrats want him dead. Okay? That's how afraid they are of him.
Yeah. Well, they have reason to be afraid of him.
The security there was phenomenal there yesterday because of it.
So getting back to Donald Trump, Graham mentions that McConnell should go easy. He was reacting to comments that he had made on Fox News where he called for party unity and said McConnell will not have his support, meaning Graham's, for his caucus leadership post if he cannot work with Trump. He says, I'm not going to vote for anybody who can't have a working relationship with Trump to be a team to come up with an America First agenda to show the difference between us and liberal Democrats. So, but we still have Donald Trump, and it seems to me like he wants to be president again. He wants another 4 years. And but, you know, and Andrew, he is kind of, even in the Republican Party, he is a bit, he's not quite the cohesive guy that DeSantis is. He's more, you know, he splits people up a little bit.
Well, Paul, that's because the average person that doesn't like Trump, even though they're a Republican, they have insecurities with themselves because they can't take a person
that has that kind of personality
he has.
Yeah, I agree.
He has strength. And these people that don't like him, they're just weaklings themselves. Well, I don't like Trump.
Well, it's like
he talks to people. And
it's like the big mouth on campus or something. You want to see his comeuppance, but yet the guy always continues to succeed.
But the thing is this, Paul. If you got the mouth and you can back up what you say, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you got a mouth and that's all you have is a mouth, then you got nothing. Trump has a mouth and he backs up what he says. He does it.
Yeah.
That's the difference. And people need to open their eyes and see that.
Get
rid of their own insecurities.
We're talking with the master barber himself, Andrew Seracy, and his traveling barber pole. Now, the other issue I wanted to talk with you about, Republicans in the Pennsylvania State Senate plan to draft a bill that would relocate illegal immigrants entering their state to Delaware. I want to know what you think about that.
Well, Paul, I think they want to copy what Ron DeSantis is doing.
That's right. Now, is he really doing it?
Oh, yeah. No question about it. He put $8 million aside in the budget, Paul. He will. Let me tell you something. Ron DeSantis will do it.
I think it's a great idea. Now, is he shipping them all to Delaware? Where are they going?
They're all going to Delaware. Put them right in Biden's front yard.
Do they have his address? That would be great. Put them all in his front yard. That would be cool.
I know they.
And then build a fence around his yard and keep him inside. How's that?
Yeah, Ron DeSantis talked about that yesterday, and the crowd erupted like you would never believe.
What did he say specifically about that? Did he say that Florida's doing this?
He says, well, you know, we know his stories about our border. He kept calling him Brandon the whole time. He never said President Biden, Brandon, the whole time.
President Brandon.
He didn't call him President Brandon. He just called him Brandon.
Brandon. I would love to see a debate between those two after he said that. Go ahead.
Ron would make hamburger out of him. But anyway, he said, you know, Brandon thinks he's keeping the borders open. We all know what a disaster it is and what he's letting in here. He said he's given the so-called Afghan government, which is now the Taliban, $308 million. Okay, and he says, what do you think is going to happen? He goes, these guys are going to finance plane tickets to go to Mexico and come right through our border with our own money.
That's scary.
Okay, and he says, as you people all know, I put $8 million aside. I'm shipping these people all to Delaware.
And they must have erupted on that one.
They went bananas.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I mean, he's there's no question. The guy is... I want to see him, DeSantis. Do you think any of these liberal talk shows, like, I wonder if he would go on it? You know, we don't have Johnny Carson anymore, but some of those late night talk shows, you know, where the liberals are hosting. I can't think of their names, Ed. You know some of those shows.
Colbert or whatever.
Yeah. Now, do you think he would go on those talk shows and take the shots from those guys?
You know, Paul, he wouldn't waste his time with those.
Yeah, I think you're right. He probably would.
He's got better things to do with his time than bother with morons that have no idea what's going on and what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, I would love to see him go on Stephen Colbert.
Yeah.
Colbert
would get upset with him.
No. Well, DeSantis can hold his own and dish it out. And I think it would frustrate Colbert. It would. But they would never take that chance. He'll never take that chance.
Well, do you remember when Trump went on that guy's show and he even let him scratch his head and hair?
Well, that was at the beginning, though.
Yeah, but still he went on.
Yeah.
Got to give Trump credit. He went on knowing.
Yeah, but this guy's younger, sharper, and faster than Trump. So yeah. I wouldn't take a chance on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ron is very, very quick.
Oh, I would think.
I can tell you, he got that from his father. That I could tell you.
Yeah.
He's got a smooth sense of humor and cuts right through like a knife.
I think everything seems to be going. I mean, if you look at the latest poll, the Quinnipiac poll, I think he's lower than Trump ever got. He's down. Biden is down to 33% favorability. I mean,
less than that, 32.
Yeah. So it's. I don't know. Does anybody kind of tap Biden on the shoulder, wake him up and say, do you realize how bad a job you're doing? You know?
They think he's doing great.
Well, I wonder if he really thinks he is.
I mean,
he stumbles out there and he waddles around and he takes his mask. He's like a slow motion robot. Have you ever noticed that?
At what point does he fall off the gauge, though? You know?
Yeah.
He gets so far down like the gas gauge, you tap it and it doesn't go any further. And all of a sudden you run out of gas.
He just stands there and stares at you. Or squints at you.
Kamala Harris is lower than him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she's a sad joke, is she not?
The dynamic.
She can't even answer questions that make any sense anymore.
I think if you add both of their percentages, it doesn't even get to 50%.
No.
Between the two of them.
I don't think so either.
Well, the Democrats got something to really feel proud of. I know I look at every person that I know voted for them, and I just say, happy yet? Happy yet?
Yeah, remember that bumper sticker when Bush, he said, miss me? After Obama came in, miss me?
Yep.
Oh,
no
well.
No question, Paul. They're going down, and I'm just anxious to see. Well, look at now. You see the new dream team they're talking about, the Democrats?
What is it?
It's Hillary Clinton and Liz Cheney.
Liz Cheney for vice president. Wow.
And then Michelle Obama got all peed off. And she just spent $75,000 saying she's getting back into politics and she wants to get the people registered to vote. So you're going to see Hillary Clinton and Michelle Obama fighting for the spot.
So
but they did say that if Michelle Obama says she's going to run, that nobody will primary her.
Aha.
That'd be beautiful.
Well, what would if we had another Hillary Clinton-Donald Trump tangle? Wouldn't that be funny?
Oh, that would be great.
I mean, Hillary Clinton has as much chance, if not more, than any of the others. I mean, Buttigieg, Pete Buttigieg, apparently has got White House ambitions, but I don't see how he's going to garner any kind of strength. That guy is, you know, he's kind of strange.
Well, you know, he might get a lot of attention when he breastfeeds his baby.
Well, he could. That's true. I mean, that whole gay issue, I don't think people are quite ready, and especially he makes a big deal out of it. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, being gay is one thing. Putting on fake boobs and breastfeeding a baby is another.
Yeah, that would be... If he was president, would his partner be the first lady or the first man?
First man.
It would be the first man. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
The first man for what?
So he would be the would Buttigieg be the first female president?
No.
Oh.
You guys are terrible. You guys are terrible.
Only if he comes out on the rotunda there wearing the rubber booby breastfeeding, then he would be the
All right, guys. Before we get in any more trouble, I want to tell you, Andrew, I'm going to take a couple of shows off next week, but I'll be back Friday. So you and I will be talking next Friday again. I also want to say I got a beautiful haircut at your place, as always, and I appreciate that.
Well, thank you. I'll have a lot of things built up before next Friday, Paul.
Okay, I bet you will, and so will I.
I'm quite sure.
All right, my friend.
You guys have a good weekend.
All right, my friend. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. There he goes. Great guy. I'm telling you, it's a great place to get a haircut, too. I really love it. All right, let's take our final break. And when we come back, among other things, we're going to give you the top 10 television soap opera kings.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back for the final segment of Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for listening. By the way, if you can't listen live, Big Ed makes it okay and allowable and possible for you to listen to us on podcast, because he puts all our shows on podcast. Bless him. So what you do is go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. And it's a great website. And you'll find out, by the way, on there, the upcoming guests and the whole bit. But you also can click on the podcast button and listen to the shows that we've done. And Ed puts the shows in there chronologically, latest show first. You'll know who the guest is. You know who the top 10 list is. It's great. It's great. OurFreedomWorks.com. Okay, Ed, before we get to our wonderful top 10, which is a good one, I want to talk a little football with you. And we got about 5 minutes to do so because this is it. We've got the playoffs coming up in football, the NFL, finally, starting this weekend. I guess Saturday probably has a couple of games. And then our beloved Tampa Bay Buccaneers will be playing at 1 o'clock on Sunday and hosting the Philadelphia Eagles. So let us move to that game. First of all, do the Eagles have a chance to beat the Bucs? A good chance or just not? You know what I mean? I mean,
there's always a chance.
But not a really strong chance.
You don't know. I mean, they actually got better towards the end of the year, so we'll see what happens. They had a week off. Remember,
I'm always worried about those teams because you know they're going to come in and fight hard.
Well, yeah, because they've got nothing to lose. Well, the pressure's, and you know, just if we make it to Green Bay in the championship game, you know, all the pressure's going to be on Green Bay because they can't lose two in a row up there. Anyway, before I say that, I saw the funniest thing because tomorrow the Kansas City Chiefs host the Pittsburgh Steelers, and somebody took out a billboard or something that says the Kansas City Chiefs are holding a retirement party for Ben Roethlisberger at Arrowhead Stadium Saturday at 4:30.
Cute. That's cute. So Roethlisberger, is he in his 40s?
No, he's 38, I think, but he's just...
Yeah, he's an old 38.
I watched him after game just walking in the tunnel with his family, just like limping, you know.
Yeah, he's an old 38, as we would say.
He's a big dude, you know.
He is big.
He is a big guy.
I
remember seeing him coming out of the locker room. I was like, wow. I mean, he's the size of an offensive lineman, just not quite as wide.
I always think about those guys after their careers are over, ballooning up, you know. And if they were big when they were in their playing days, they usually don't get skinnier.
Usually the wives will keep that under control, is what I've been told.
Okay.
The wives. Some of them used to say, well, you know, when I'm done, I mean, Nate Newton said this from the old Dallas Cowboys, when I'm done playing, I'm just going to go eat.
Exactly.
But, you know, it's not healthy anymore, you know, they don't do that.
So, on the grand scale of things, I don't know what the Las Vegas oddmakers have, but we've got the Tennessee Titans seeded number one in the American Conference, and we've got the Green Bay Packers seeded one in the National Conference. Are those the two that Las Vegas would say are most likely to meet in the Super Bowl? Or what?
You know, I don't know.
I'm
not sold on the Tennessee Titans. They're the number one team, but they're also, within a month ago, they were beat by the Jets.
I mean, they kind of came out of nowhere.
Green Bay had their struggles towards the end of the year. They didn't wipe anybody out. You know, they lost their final game. Granted, they sat their players in the second half. But the few games before that, they squeaked some wins out. So.
All right, Ed, can I put you on the spot?
Sure.
Can I put you on the spot? Okay. What are going to be the two Super Bowl teams? I'm going to write it down.
It's so hard.
I know. I mean, I'm putting you on the spot. Yeah.
I would have to stay with the Bucks on the NFC because they are the champs. And every time I go against them, they prove me wrong. So maybe I should pick them to lose this week.
I would think the Bucs have a real good chance of being in the Super Bowl.
You know, they said that last year. Remember, they were a wild card team. They're not going to get far. And they went all the way to Green Bay, beat them, and then won the Super Bowl.
That's right. They did everything.
And then in the AFC, I got to go with... I think the Chiefs make their way back again.
Okay.
So it could be a repeat of last year.
They've stumbled a little bit once in a while, too. But there are times when they look pretty good, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And when they're good, they're unstoppable.
Kansas City at Tampa Bay. Yeah. That would be fun.
Yeah.
All right, let's do our top 10, Ed. Let's see how prognosticatedly good you are in telling us what is the greatest soap opera. These are not just daytime, but they are daytime. I just want to let you know.
Oh, they are daytime.
They're both.
Okay.
They are nighttime soap operas in here and daytime. Okay. It's ranker.com. I think they take some sort of a poll. People vote by clicking in and that kind of thing. So for what it's worth, 10 greatest television soap operas. Number 10, Knott's Landing. Do you remember that?
I remember that was a spinoff of Dallas.
I think you're right. Michelle Lee and Ted Shackelford starred in it. It debuted December 27th, 1979.
And Val, what was her name? Oh, very pretty lady. I can't remember her name.
Val, I kind of remember.
Blonde, gorgeous, Knott's Landing. Yeah, I remember that.
Okay. Number 9. One Life to Live. That's a daytime soap opera.
That was an ABC, yes.
One Very good, look. Yes. Hayden Panettiere and Kourtney Kardashian.
That was one of the first ones that went by the wayside.
It did?
Yeah, daytime TV took over your Oprah's, your Dr. Phil's. And
knocked these out.
Yeah, they knocked them out.
Well, it premiered July 15th, 1968.
Yeah.
Okay. Number eight. Oh, boy, this is an oldie. Guiding Light.
Another one that started very early and then...
Well, Hayden Panettiere was also in Guiding Light, as in One Life to Live, and a person by the name of Matt Bomer. Do you know when it debuted?
No.
January 25th, 1937.
Wow.
You were just a kid. Number seven.
Did you catch that on the black and white?
I knew you'd try that trick. Number seven. Yeah, I'm too quick for you. Number seven is Another World. You ever watch that one?
No. I heard of it, though.
Victoria Windham and Constance Ford. It debuted May 4th, 1964. Number six. How about The Young and the Restless?
Sure, I remember that. Yeah, that was a big ABC 1 o'clock
yeah,
spot.
Yeah, very good. Eric Braeden and Peter Bergman were in it. It debuted March 26, 1973. Number five. General Hospital.
That was my favorite.
Really?
Every day at school, you know, hurry up to get home and get started at 3 o'clock and...
Cool.
Luke and Laura got married and had the highest daytime ratings ever.
Wow, you really do know your stuff. I've got the names Maurice Bernard and Steve Burton.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
It debuted April 1st, 1960.
They were the first ones that started it.
Okay, yes.
Those were the original characters. Dr. Steve Harvey, I want to say.
Okay.
He played Dr. Steve Harvey.
Good for you. April 1st, 1963. Number four. Days of Our Lives.
Yes.
You ever hear that one?
NBC, I think.
Okay. Suzanne Rogers and Lauren Kuzlow debuted November 8th, 1965. Number three. Dynasty.
Dynasty,
right?
Yep.
John Forsythe was in it, and Linda Evans. Remember Linda Evans? Blonde bombshell.
And what was the wicked one?
Yeah, and she's got a...
She has a twin sister.
She's got not a twin, but a sister that's an author.
Oh, okay.
I know who you mean, and I can't think of her name. I'll come up with it. We'll come up with it. Anyway, it debuted January 12th, 1981. Number two. All My Children?
Yes.
Cameron Matheson and Michael E. Knight. It debuted January 5th, 1970.
Now, that one, year in and year out, won all the awards.
Okay, All My Children.
All the daytime awards.
Oh, cool. Okay. All right. You know your stuff. All right, let's see how good you really are.
I got to go with...
What do you think?
I got to go with probably the granddaddy of nighttime soap operas would have to be J.R. Ewing in Dallas.
Bingo. You are right. Larry Hagman. And remember Patrick Duffy?
Mm-hmm.
And wasn't it Patrick Duffy who played his brother?
Yes.
And wasn't he the one that shot J.R.?
No, actually, sister-in-law did.
Oh, I couldn't even remember
And
that.
Remember Patrick Duffy died... Because his contract ran out, then he re-signed and it was all a dream.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the way they do that. Well, you know what debuted April 2nd, 1978, by the way.
Yeah, I remember.
There you go. All right, we're going to take off a couple of shows. We'll be back next week, Friday. Thank you for listening. Enjoy your weekend, and remember, freedom works.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZA.